You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Red Sox could use a double play. It's a ground ball to short off the glove of Story. Everybody's going to be safe. The throw goes to third, but the runner was coming back home. Now a throw to third, and safe there. Oh, boy, the Red Sox can't do anything right.
All right, that was the call from late last night in the game because the game changed very quickly. Megan Ottolini with John Lyons here for another hour in for Jones and Keith as they take the holiday off. And we're going to return to the Red Sox, who went up, or rather went down from a 3-0 lead in the sixth inning to losing that game to the Cincinnati Reds after taking 2-3 in the series. It ended just about the worst way it could possibly end, which is base running errors from Romy Gonzalez, a ton of defensive errors in the field, Weiser looking totally gassed and leaving a lot of people thinking, what the hell just happened in that series? You start off the series with Cora seeing every pitch that's being tipped by some young kid for the Reds making his second start. You have a weird split game that a lot of people probably didn't even get to watch yesterday at parts. And then the final game, it looks like you're chugging along and going to sweep the series and start off some wonderful run with the next teams that you have up in the Nats and Rockies. And it ends like that.
And it was one of those losses, and Joe Weil talked about this on Red Sox Review after the game, really disheartening in a sense, and that not just a chance to sweep the series, but a chance to get back to 500. Remember, after a six-game losing streak last week, to get back on track and say, hey, we've got a push before the All-Star break here where it's the Nationals, the Rockies, two teams we should be able to win series against, and then a little bit more before then. And now it's like, okay, you lose this game, and you lose it in a way, Mego, it's not like Cincinnati made some great plays and they took this game from you. Now, you loaded the bases because of an error in a walk. Then you kept throwing the guy fastballs at Encarnacion Strand. Then he, by the way, guy hitting 195.
Guy who wasn't supposed to be in the lineup until the last minute.
Hits one out of the stadium for a grand slam. Then you leave the pitcher in. Roman Anthony makes an error that wasn't charged an error because he misjudged the ball in right field, went over his head, leads to a double. You give up a single, another run. Then you finally take the pitcher out. And don't forget, in the bottom of the seventh, they did get a run back there on that Romy Gonzalez base running error. So it's 5-4, but what happens? Well, you make it 5-4, and your guy who hit the double runs into an out at third base. And then you give him, oh, by the way, three more runs in the top of the eighth right after. It was all these things that have been troubling the Red Sox for not just this year, but really since 2022, all showed up once again last night. And it's weird because we're sitting here talking about a series they won, but I don't really feel any better about the Red Sox today than I did before the series started.
I agree. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night saying, what the hell is Romy Gonzalez doing? Why would he try to force that double into a triple? And I understand getting mad at the player, but I'm so far past the point of getting mad at the player. I've said this before. Like, if you leave your puppy home for 6 hours and don't take the puppy out, you can't get mad at the puppy for peeing on your rug. Like, this is not a Romy Gonzalez problem. This is a problem that many Red Sox players have had over the last several seasons. So it's an issue with coaching the fundamentals, be it defensive fundamentals or be it base running issues, which they've had going back to at least last year. And so I'm beyond getting mad at the player. I know there was no coach on the Red Sox who was waving Romy Gonzalez into third base last night. Of course not. Ridiculous. I understand that. But it's the overall lack of attention to details that shows itself in these games, no matter the opponent, no matter the player committing the issue, or no matter where it is in the season. And to me, overall, when those issues come up and the team falls apart the way it did last night, it's such a lack of composure that you have to wonder when this team, if they get themselves in the position to have the third wild card, to be in the postseason, have they shown anything that indicates that they have the composure to rip off a game? Like if another team starts coming back in the postseason with the number of one-run losses that they've had this year, is there anything that tells you that they have any kind of mental fortitude to fight in that situation? Because it looked last night like you get a mistake from Abraham Toro, you get a mistake from Romy Gonzalez, and the floodgates open, and it's a flood of errors.
And these guys, by the way, Mega, because we talked a lot earlier in the show about the kids coming up not being ready. Romy Gonzalez is a 5-year vet.
Right. I'm not picking on Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. You can for last night, but those are growing pains.
Trevor Story is a vet. He made an error last night too, right? Like, Toro is a vet, made an error last night. Like, to me, Roman Anthony should have been charged for 2 errors last night. He was charged for 0, which is a whole other discussion about how, by the way, the Red Sox in Fenway Park manipulate their error numbers, and they've been doing it for years. We all know it. But those were also, like, again, vets making errors. So, yeah, Roman Anthony made what I thought should have been 2 errors, and neither one was charged. Marcelo Meyer misjudged that ball as he was, but he was going back from second base as well. I get it. That you have vets making errors and you have young players not ready to play. So to me, this is an organizational issue where you have a minor league system that is not getting guys, and not just guys, highly touted prospects ready enough to play in the major leagues. But then you also have a major league coaching staff where vets are making these mistakes year after year after. I mean, they led the league in errors last year, led the league in errors the year before. This isn't brand new. They've run into outs on the base pass for the last 3 years. So it's, yes, the minor league system is not getting these guys ready, but even the vets are doing this. Or pitching situation. Like, you have pitchers who can't make key pitches either. Vets.
You came across a tweet about an hour ago. Do you want to share it? Do you have it ready? I can grab a call, or do you have it ready?
Grab a quick call. I'll pull it up.
Okay, let's go to Please. Matt, who's waiting in Rhode Island to talk about the Red Sox. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know if you listened to the show after they won that postponed game, but 50 and Hart were trying to strong-arm Ted Johnson into thinking, like, the Red Sox are back, and he would just have none of it. I was just laughing when I watched that game unfold. This is being a Red Sox fan now. It's miserable. But just let me give you a lot of talk on trades, obviously, Rafael Devers trade, the trading deadline. Riddle me this on this trade last year with Craig Breslow, when he traded Nick York, who, you know, everyone knows as a prospect, but got this kid Quinn Priester back, 23-year-old, first round, 18th selection, Pittsburgh Pirates, 23 years old. Good stuff. Pitched the last game of the season last year. 1 run, 3 hits, 5 innings. Everything sounds good right now, right? Again, you signed Giolito last year. You didn't even pitch. So it sounds good so far. Trade him to Milwaukee for no apparent reason, where he's been so solid. It's just like an example of how disjointed and disorganized his front office is. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know when they're going to do it. And after they make moves, they just make up just all sorts of weird stuff to try to make sense of it. And it doesn't make any sense.
Thank you, Matt.
Quinn Priester with a 3.35 ERA.
Yeah, Quinn Priester is like the hot name right now of
another
the one who
that
got away.
another guy willingly moved on from. Yeah.
So what's this tweet that showed me?
So this was by Zach Scott. And for those who aren't familiar with Zach Scott, he worked for the Red Sox for 16 years, almost 17, and he was in research and development on the baseball side. He actually rose to be their executive vice president and assistant general manager. So he was heavily involved. He won four World Series as part of the baseball operations department. He tweeted this actually almost at 2 a.m. this morning. I just came across it.
Interesting.
He said a Red Sox front office member, a Red Sox development member, told him that it was time to leave because a minor league field coordinator who was hired by Chaim Bloom said in a meeting, "We no longer coach fundamentals." So that was a minor league field coordinator saying outright to the development staff in a meeting that we no longer coach fundamentals.
Was that a declaration of philosophy or was that a complaint? Was that him saying, come on, guys, we no longer teach fundamentals? Declared
in their first meeting. So it was a declaration of we're not doing this anymore. And I think if you look at it, right, we talked about this morning. If you look at what's happened to them with these guys coming up, whether it was Duran in 22, Casas, obviously Anthony Meyer this year, Christian Campbell got sent back down. So many guys have come up, Mego, not ready to play in the field and not ready to run the bases. And then the two young guys that they have that have been ready in Abreu and Narvaez got developed in other systems. And I don't think that's a coincidence. The time, and again, Duran built himself into the All-Star Game MVP and had a great year last year. But remember how bad it was when he came up in 22? Remember that inside the park home run that went over his head in 2022 against the Blue Jays? Like, they consistently have guys come up. And it's not just average Joes. Roman Anthony is the number one prospect in baseball, and he doesn't look fully ready. I'm not telling you he's been awful in the field, but doesn't look fully ready there. Christian Campbell was a top 25 prospect. Had a bad spring. They kept him up anyway, and he didn't look fully ready. Had to get sent back down.
Not only that, John Lyons, but these are the guys. Marcelo Meyer, how long has he been the giant carrot
that's been dangled
in front of Red Sox fans while they sat through the last several seasons of not doing stuff at the major leagues level? Other than extending Rafael Devers. And then
speaking of, Devers is a guy that came up as a terrible fielder and never got better. And some of that is on him and his professional responsibility. But he wasn't obviously developed as a fielder, and it never got better at the major. And again, I think a chunk of that is on him. I'm not absolving him. But it's just another example of guys coming up not ready to play in the field, not ready to run the bases, and then some of them have gotten better. Like Duran has gotten better. I think Rafael has gotten better. But then you have other, like Casas to me never got that much better in the field. Devers never got better in the field. Like that to me is a huge problem here. Especially when the kids, they've built their identity around the kids.
Don't forget Trevor Story also had an error last night. Yeah. All right, here's Allison in Cambridge. Allison in Cambridge, you want to talk about the Red Sox?
Yes, hi guys. First of all, I just want to say, John, the article that you wrote after Rafi was traded was just so wonderful. It summed up everything perfectly. I actually made a hard copy of it. I think it's a great summation of it all.
Thank you. It was unfortunately a little sad to write because I had to talk about them dismantling such a great team. But thank you, Allison.
I know. It was just really, thank you very much. It was just great. And there are two things that are related. I think that part of it is players pressing, that there were such like high expectations for this team. And unlike the 2011 Red Sox, where there was reason to have them have a lot of high expectations, this team, it was just based on, why did anyone think that Duran would repeat last year? We didn't have people who had a track record or trust him. And there's another related problem. They're pressing and then having the youth and having people when they come up, they're not playing their natural position. In part, I thought Craig Breslow, that basically the trades that he tried to make in the offseason, he should have. I mean, that he should have traded Tristan and Massa. He should have. And even if people didn't take them, he should have been brave and just done it and added more so that they would, so that our team, so we wouldn't end up with all these left-handed bats who are basically DHs who don't have a position, and people who do have a position should be playing them. I mean, Roman Anthony should be playing in left field, which is where he should be. And what should be playing in as shortstop? Meyer is a shortstop. I mean, people who actually have positions, but the problem is that Chaim gave us so many people that didn't have positions, and he also didn't give us pitching. That everything is just out of whack. And so they're pressing. The people are pressing. There were high expectations for a team that I don't think we should have had such high expectations. And then you have people who are really ill-filled to do it. I mean, even like if you look at the 2011 Red Sox, they were veterans and they were pressing and it totally fell apart. Well, these are kids and they're people that they're 4A players, a lot of them that really aren't supposed to be here and they're playing out of position. I mean, it's no wonder that this is. But there's one more thing I wanted to say, which is when Sam Kennedy was on this morning, I actually really like listening to Craig Breslow on the morning show because he never lies, and it's interesting to hear what he says, but Sam Kennedy obviously does lie. But the question I would have liked to have asked him, I would have asked him the follow-up of what Craig Breslow said the other day. I would have said, do you realize that your own, that Craig Breslow admitted that these problems about base running and poor defense are happening in the minor leagues as well? I would really like to have seen how Sam would have responded to that. And thank you so much, and have a great holiday and weekend, and thank you.
All right. Thanks, Allison. Great call. I think that the morning show does a great job with their front office report. And if you don't like high expectations being set for guys and putting the pressure on them, you're not going to like what we're going to play in a couple minutes from Sam Kennedy about what he said. The feeling was prior to the loss last night, but he said it after the loss on the morning show today because he set expectations pretty high. We see your calls lined up. Wanted to talk about Red Sox. We're going to hit what's trending, and on the other side, we will return to those calls. Red Sox conversation and what Sam Kennedy told the morning show about expectations for this team later this year. But first, here's what's trending.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Another half hour with you, Megan Ottolini and John Lyons, leading up to this long holiday weekend for most. I'll be hanging out here, so I'll be on the morning show tomorrow.
I'll be on the afternoon show.
There you go. We'll be with you tomorrow if you have a radio out at your cookouts, your barbecues, whatever you want to call it. Let's get to some of these Red Sox calls because people are displeased, even though the Red Sox won that series against the Reds. The way that they finished it, giving up a 3-0 lead, was very disappointing. Let's go to Bill in Somerset. Bill, you want to talk about the Red Sox?
Yes. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. First of all, let me start by saying I do agree with you about the development issues, okay? But I do have a problem with Alex Cora and how he's handled all of this. Because, you know, if you listen to his comments after the game last night, you know, it's clear that he recognizes that the team keeps making the same dumb, stupid, sloppy mistakes, and that's why they're in the position that they're in. And this has been going on for a long time now. And I do think that he and the coaching staff have tried to instill, you know, the fundamentals once these guys arrive, okay? But they're not listening. And so there's no accountability or responsibility. If you're not listening, then it's time to bench somebody so that they can, you know, sit there, think about it, you know, sulk, whatever. But when you get back on the field, you know, here's what I expect of you. And if you're not going to do it, you're going to sit again.
All right. Thanks, Bill. You think there's a lack of accountability, John Lyons, on the Red Sox under Alex Cora?
I think at times it feels a little bit that way. And it's weird because the caller's right that he said multiple times in post-game press conferences, like, oh, we're making these mistakes. We keep making these mistakes. But then you keep making those mistakes. So, like, I don't know, like, on the course, did you not work on some of this stuff in spring training? Because, again, when guys like Story are making errors and vets, that's different than Roman Anthony came up and he looks a little unsure of himself. Like, when you have vets doing it, or Casas in year four or year three still being shaky at first base, like, that, to me, that falls on him, too.
What'd you make of Masataka Yoshida taking those ground balls in Worcester?
I don't know. Is that like
base?
Is this like Devers taking ground balls at shortstop part two? Like,
what intrigued me was I saw a comparison to Will Campbell in that first basemen are almost always 6 feet or taller, and Masa's only 5'8", which
yes.
I didn't realize he was that.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere. I don't quote me on this, but I think I saw somewhere that there's only like a two or three first basemen like under 6 feet or like under 5'11 that are good. So yeah, that
I think I might be taller than Masataka Yoshida.
You've been spending a lot of time with him in person?
Yeah, I've seen him.
And do you think that he's 5'8", or do you think that that's a roster height?
That's a roster height, yeah.
Okay, is he like my height more like?
He could be.
I'm 5'7".
For a professional athlete, he is not
so Mego
tall.
At first base is what we're talking about. Right? Yeah. Like Mego in the field at Fenway Park. That's
but I got
what
I got
about.
A nice like arm radius, so catch
that's
radius
true.
Is
so
like,
you have better wingspan.
I got,
than
I
Will
got
Campbell?
A great wingspan. My okay. wingspan is longer than my height.
Okay.
I'm one of those.
All right, so you're like Robert Williams.
Yes, very much so. Okay. In many ways.
Yes.
Let's go to Rob in Swampscott. Rob, you want to talk about the Sox roster?
Oh my Lord! Thank you for taking this call. I called Rich Keefe earlier in the season, right when it started. And what I contended was the Red Sox pitching staff, the starting rotation was a number one, at best a number four, and three number fives. And let me explain. Crochet, legit stud. Let's move him to the side. Now let's go to, at best, you got Hauk, okay? And the reason why I call him a number four is because he's so damn inconsistent and injury prone. So to expect anything more than a number four out of Hauk is just foolish. Then you've got Bale, who started out last season gangbusters, and by the time he hit July, fizzled out and went away like dandelion spores in the wind. Okay? Then you had Criswell, and then I'm trying to think of the last guy who's escaping me at the moment. But, then you had Walker Buehler, who's coming back from major surgery. So he's a complete unknown. So I'm trying to understand how Craig Breslow and the front office sold this bill of goods to anybody and anyone bought it.
Okay, look, Rob, I get some of what you're saying with the pitching. We've talked about this before, John Lyons, and Lucas Giolito seemingly has turned a corner since that one dreadful week in which Giolito and Walker Buehler both had horrendous starts. That was like a month ago at this point, I want to say. But at the same time, the setup for this season, I can understand from a roster perspective how you would feel like the rotation is lackluster. Even with Crochet, okay, Crochet was the huge acquisition, but beyond that, that you could have used somebody who's more of a bona fide second in the rotation. I will accept that. But to look at the roster and pretend like they didn't do stuff moves that were more significant than the last several off seasons, I think you're you're letting the coaching staff off a little easy there in terms of, hey, who's, you know, the blame pie slicing it up for the way that the season has gone thus far?
Yeah, like my criticism of the front office, Mego, is about the starting rotation. It's not as much about the lineup because they came into this year with Bregman, with Devers. Like, those are two big pieces they don't have
and
right
now. And
nobody
thought that Jaren Duran was going to be who he was last year, but did you think he was going to be closer to 2023? Yes.
And I think, like, Duran last year was a top 20 player in the majors. Did you hope at least this year maybe be a top 40 player, right? Like, that'd be a step down, but still good, and he's been below that. Like, to me, the issue is you needed two frontline caliber starting pitchers last year, and you got one. Like, to me, that – so now you relied on Tanner Houck, who had an inconsistent year last year. He was bad this year and then got, quote-unquote, hurt. Bayo has been much better in June, but in May couldn't get out of the fifth inning. Buehler has been a disaster, sadly. So that, to me, is the bigger issue. And I also think from a lineup perspective, like, why is it that Marcelo Meyer had a really good spring, has been in their system longer, was a higher-rated prospect, but you came up with Christian Campbell to start opening day?
Contracts.
Like, again, like, see,
it's who's playing ball with the contract.
And I think that is a problem, because I think if you started the year with Marcelo Meyer, I'm not sitting here saying you'd be 10 games over 500. But that massive slump and fielding errors issue that Christian Campbell went into in May, maybe Meyer doesn't do. I'm not telling you Meyer would be a star, but I don't think he goes through that. And I think that's a problem, too.
So on the Greg Hill Morning Show, they had their final road show at Lake Winnipesaukee this morning, and they had the front office report. Credit to Sam Kennedy for getting on there before a holiday weekend, because a lot of people would say, hey, let's scrap that. Let's do that next week at another show or something. But Sam Kennedy gave this answer to some of the, it was kind of like a vibes question of what's going on with the Red Sox. And the guy, he can't help himself. He can't help himself but go a little bit too far, elaborate a little bit too much, exaggerate a little bit too much. Listen to Sam Kennedy, and reminder, this is after the final three innings of last night, when you gave up a 3-0 lead.
Things can change very quickly. We're six games back. We're not focused on anything other than the division, getting ourselves back in a position to be playing meaningful games in September to position us to get into October. Things can change fast. Alex Cora was joking last night with Jason Veritek pregame about the date we're going to the White House next year. So, you know, there is no lack of confidence in that clubhouse, I can tell you. And that's why I love this group. We feel very, very confident. But at the same time, I think it's fair for all of us to be frustrated by where we are.
Why does he do that? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he just stop at the first half? The first half's fine. Why does he start talking about Alex Cora is joking about going to the White House? To me, that's closer in line with a week before you trade Raffy Devers, hey, we know when Raffy, when he's going to be ready to be called upon, he'll be ready. Like, when we need him, he'll be ready to go. That's, don't you love seeing Raffy take grounders out there before games and goof around and pretend like he's going to play shortstop one day? Like, just, you step in it. It's too much. It's too much. I understand Sam Kennedy wants to paint a nice picture for everybody, and it's a bad loss last night, but you win the series, and he's saying things can change quickly. We still see ourselves as World Series contenders. To say guys are joking about, like, basically booking their flights to go down to Washington to celebrate a World Series, it's too much, dude. It's too much, and that's where people get mad, because the following week, who knows what will happen.
They should be focused on having a good week, not worried about, like, hey, we're going to win the World Series in October.
Well, just don't share that, like, stuff. I'm sure Cora hears that and he's like, why'd you say that?
Having the goal of trying to win the division and be a contender is what you should want, right, as the Red Sox. But in order to do that, you have to play good baseball week in and week out, and they haven't done that. Like, their goal should be, let's have a good week. And then let's have a good couple weeks. And then let's have a good month of July. And then let's have a good trade deadline. And then talk about actually contending. I mean, it's a team that went 81-81 last year, finished in last place the 2 years before. They're on a less win pace than they were a year ago when they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break. So your focus should just be have a good week. And I also think, Mego, this is some evidence. I think Sam Kennedy's just out of the loop when it comes to Breslow and Cora. Seriously,
he doesn't get it. God bless. Like, look, I get his job's not easy. His job's not easy. Yeah. He's the front-facing guy. And when the team has been struggling as long as they have, he's got to eat a lot of poop sandwiches, yeah, for lack of a nicer term. And that's the job. And it's tough at times. But it goes so far. And it goes so far. And then in the same conversation, when he's asked, if you guys are under 500, will you still add? Knowing that they could still be technically in it for the postseason, being under 500, and he can't answer it. And he says, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, then don't talk about how your manager and tech are joking about going to the White House. Like, you understand how that is mixed messages, and then other people in the organization come out and basically refute what you say the next week on the same show?
And him not being able to answer that question 4 days after Craig Breslow went on Nesson on a game broadcast and said, we are going to be aggressive. Like, he used the word aggressive.
Yeah, but Craig Breslow also said there's a lot of games left to be played.
He did. But I look at it as, and we saw with the Jeff Passan article that Breslow has more and more insulated himself over the last couple of years. I just think Kennedy is not, it feels to me like he's not fully in the loop. Like, yeah, he's the president of the team, but it's more a, he's the president of the business side, public relations side. He's there in some of the baseball meetings, but it's really Breslow and Cora's show. And that's that.
I think it's more Breslow's show these days than anybody else's, which I did not predict even 6 months ago, but all the reporting indicates that. And with Sam Kennedy, the reason I talk about this is because going back to Full Throttle and probably examples even earlier than that, this organization is just dysfunctional in the way that they message. And if the team's winning, who cares? Who cares what they say if they're winning? You can, if you're winning, winning fixes everything. Great book by my friend Evan Drellick. Like, doesn't matter if you win. But if we're going to get all our, you know, get our hackles up about Gerard Mayo all year and how sloppy the product then was on the field and him walking back things and there being mixed messages coming out here, it's very similar with the Red Sox. And this is Sam Kennedy's main job, is going out there. I see in the Twitch chat, Sam is a shield for FSG. Yeah, and when you're a shield, like, and you're not saying the right thing, and Craig Breslow is being more awkward than usual trying to clean up the mess on the Greg Hill show because you said you love seeing Rafi Devers being out there ready to play defense, and then he's going to be traded a week later. It just looks like a big mess.
Yeah, and that's where, like, it's tough because I think Sam Kennedy, sure, he's a fan. He wants the team to win. I get it. But when you say something like that, it's farcical. Like, it's what, in 2018, when Alex Cora said in spring training, where World Series are bust, yeah, you had the best roster in baseball.
And then they were like, World Series.
Yeah. And, like, they had made the playoffs the year before, and they had the best roster in baseball. They added JD Martinez during spring training. Like, okay. But to say that now, well, you're below 500 after going 500 last year, and it's not like you've lost to these great teams, and these teams have made great play. The White Sox took 3 out of 4 from you. The Twins were below 500, came in here, swept you, and then went on a 12-game winning streak. You helped them start that. Then the Reds are a pretty good team last night, but the Reds, they didn't do anything to win that game. You lost it. Base running mistakes, fielding mistakes, pitching mistakes.
You absolutely gave it up.
And the what scares me, Mego, is when you have the Nationals and the Rockies coming up, which are bad teams. Well, if you make fielding and base running mistakes, you'll lose to those bad teams too, just like you lost 3 out of 4 to the White Sox. So that's the issue, is they're losing to bad teams. Once they start playing better teams in the second half, could it get worse? And he's sitting here talking about, oh, well, we're going to go to the White House.
And it's not even him just saying, I believe we're doing this. It's saying the manager and tech think that we're doing this. And that's the other step, is like,
and have a good week.
Can't imagine people
just like focus on
having
one good week.
Can't imagine those two absolutely like love that when you're coming from a game where you just gave up a 3-0 lead in that you had in the sixth inning and you were about to sweep the series on a very frisky Cincinnati team. So tough beat from the morning. But again, hey, credit to him for going out there before a holiday weekend. makes for great stuff for us to discuss.
I guess he probably regrets it now.
I doubt it. Yeah. I'm sure he's enjoying himself.
That's true.
We got to take a quick break. We're with you for one more segment before we hand it over to WEEI Afternoons. All three guys are in on that show, so it should be a fun one. I'm going to get your quick take on the Bruins on the other side, because you haven't gotten to chat any Bruins, and it's been a very, very busy week for the Boston Bruins right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
That's Don Sweeney. Leaving me wondering if the juice is in the room with us or if it's coming in the form of a different person later, because as I've said before this week, I'm underwhelmed by the free agency moves that the Bruins made. But this final segment of Mego and Lions, as we head into the WEEI afternoon show, is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the 99 Restaurants the day after the Red Sox win and get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 Restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. So,
do kids get half a free meal today because they won one and lost one yesterday?
I feel they should get three-quarters or okay, two-thirds three quarters. Of a... Two-thirds, okay. Really three-quarters, because they had the 3-0 lead yesterday. Yeah. So I feel like maybe they get... Yeah.
A loophole for the 99.
Something like that. So, John, what did you make of the Boston Bruins moves this week? Not going back to the draft. I think everybody feels pretty good about the draft, but free agency itself.
So I'll say right up front, I'm always glad that they spend money, and I appreciate that, because there was... time where the Bruins didn't. But my biggest takeaway from I'm largely overwhelmed here. I mean, we're talking mostly about third and fourth line guys. I mean, Sean Corrali, love you mean it, game-winning goal in game one of the 2019 Stanley Cup final, but that's a fourth line guy. Bunch of other guys on sub $1 million a year contracts, like Tanner Jeannot, huge overpay. Like, again, player that's tough to play against. He has 27 total points combined in the last two seasons for a team that struggled to score goals last year. I mean, the move that I like the most, besides re-signing Morgan Geekie, is trading for Victor Arvidsson. because that's at least a guy that scored 20 or more goals in five seasons. So, like, he can score. So, on the whole, though, I'm largely underwhelmed by what they've done so far.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of the excuses of how early guys re-signed with their own teams in free agency, and Don Sweeney holding up Morgan Geekie as their own example of how they took Geekie off the board from other teams, so patting himself on the back for that. But also, you could have been in on Ehlers, and you decided that you just didn't want to spend on a really big item like that, and instead divvy it up to a bunch of guys who are fourth liners. And I don't think that you addressed, as you said, Lions, the major need of this team, which is actually scoring. And it feels to me like they're treating this like a gap rebuild year. And if that's what it is, I don't know how much patience the fan base has for that. I don't know how much patience ownership has for that, because they like the playoff gates. They like having that, even if it's just one round, that matters a lot to them. And I just feel that we went into this free agency period with high hopes because a lot of people liked the draft. And now coming out of free agency, it just feels like, bleh, okay. You, not only is this a bridge year, but you signed Janot to this five-year contract that looks totally absurd.
Yeah, and are they going to be tougher to play against next year? Yeah, sure. But does that mean they're going to lose 4-2 instead of 4-1? Like, I don't know. Like, are they going to lose 3-1 instead of 3-0?
Well, that's like, what that's... our Scott McLaughlin, NHL insider, Bruins insider, said yesterday. Like, basically, it's a low standard, but they're not going to get embarrassed.
Yeah. And we did see a lot of times last year, you know, they lose 5-0, 7-1, whatever. Like, they got blown out a lot, 8-2 losses. So you won't see that. But is it going to translate into you winning a lot of hockey games? It's just, to me, the Bruins have done this for a long time. Like, how many times, Mego, do we hear about, well, if you're going to be a Bruin, you're going to be big, tough, and physical? Okay. You've won one Stanley Cup in the last 50 years. Is that really the best strategy?
Right.
And the one
change the recipe.
And the one Stanley Cup you won, by the way, Tim Thomas, all-time playoff performance, you were also really good. You weren't just big and tough. You had flat-out Hall of Fame and great-level players on that 2011 team. And 14 and 19 had great skill players, too. So, yeah, being big and tough and physical is great. Like, look at Florida. They're big, tough, and physical. They also have guys who can score 40 goals a year, right? Like, they also have Ekblad, who's been a Norris Trophy contender in his career. Like, they have great players in addition to just being tough. And I think that's something the Bruins, and we saw it last year with Zadorov, big, tough, and physical guy, and he gave them nothing. And maybe he'll be better this year, but he gave him nothing.
I think that's just Cam Neely's type.
Yeah.
Everybody has a type, whether you want to admit it or not, and that's his. All right, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This has been Megan Ottolini and John Lyons. You got WEEI Afternoons. All three guys are in today, so it should be a great show. I'm sure they'll catch you up with a whole lot of Red Sox from last night. Continue taking your calls on that and get into more Celtics intrigue, whether Dame Lillard is going to be a Celtic. We'll see. Keep refreshing. Keep listening. You'll be the first ones to know. All right. Thanks, everybody.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.